From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. The text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5. The beginning of verse 5 says that hope maketh not ashamed, or does not disappoint. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the reason this is true is found in the second part of the verse, which says, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who have been justified by faith in Christ, which guarantees that believers will never suffer damnation. Paul refers to the Holy Spirit as the earnest, or the down payment of Christians' redemption, the promise that God will inevitably bring His blood-washed children to heaven. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit witnesses of God's incomparable love to His people, not just as a vast multitude, but as individuals. What a glorious thought it is that God loves each of us personally. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, taken from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and verse 22. Have faith in God. Faith is the foot of the soul by which it can march along the road of the commandments. Love can make the feet move more swiftly, but faith is the foot which carries the soul. Faith is the oil enabling the wheels of holy devotion and of earnest piety to move well. And without faith, the wheels are taken from the chariot and we drag heavily. With faith I can do all things. Without faith I shall have neither the inclination nor the power to do anything in the service of God. If you would find the men who serve God the best, you must look for the men of the most faith. Little faith will save a man. But little faith cannot do great things for God. Poor little faith could not have fought Apollyon. It needed Christian to do that. Poor little faith could not have slain giant despair. It required great hearts armed to knock that monster down. Little faith will go to heaven, most certainly. But it often has to hide itself in a nutshell, and it frequently loses all but its jewels. Little faith says, It is a rough road, beset with sharp thorns and full of dangers. I am afraid to go. But great faith remembers the promise, Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so she boldly ventures. Little faith stands desponding, mingling her tears with the flood. But great faith sings, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And she fords the stream at once. Would you be comfortable and happy? Would you enjoy religion? Would you have the religion of cheerfulness and not that of gloom? Then have faith in God. If you love darkness and are satisfied to dwell in gloom and misery, then be content with little faith. But if you love the sunshine and would sing songs of rejoicing, covet earnestly this best gift, great faith.
Oh,
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Start in the middle of verse 5. Here's how we know our hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We must start at the end of the verse if we're going to put things in chronological order. First truth here, God has given us His Holy Spirit. Now, this is a vital component in Paul's argument. The amazing thing is, when you read the experts and the commentators on Romans 5, not too many of them spend a lot of time in this particular part of the argument. There are other great things in this text, and they're rushing on as if the giving of the Holy Spirit were only an afterthought. But this is absolutely essential to everything else. Without this, there's nothing. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And the truth that he's getting over is this. That one fact, the fact that God has given His Holy Spirit to believers, is an essential part of proving the security of those believers. The argument really is very simple, and yet it's profound. If God has given you His Spirit, He's never going to damn you. If God has given you His Spirit, you are His in a unique and wonderful and unchangeable way. Now in chapter 5, Paul only mentions this. This is, you'll see this in Paul's style again and again. Not only in Romans, but in other places. For example, if you go through the first epistle of the Corinthians, you'll see this, where Paul loves to hang something out there. And then later he'll come and he'll pick it up. I remember when I was lecturing through 1 Corinthians, I pointed out to our students that in many ways that's the structure of that whole book, where he deals with something, and in dealing with that, he mentions something else. It's only a mention. Then he comes and he starts expounding that. In that exposition, he mentions something else. And then later he picks it up. He loves to do that. Here he's mentioning the fact that God has given us the Holy Spirit. In chapter 8, he deals with this in much, much fuller detail. And there you'll find there are many, many great statements about the Spirit. In many ways, Romans chapter 8 is peculiarly the chapter of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of Him as the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that dwelleth in you, the Spirit who enables you to mortify the deeds of the body, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, the Spirit who helpeth our infirmities, the Spirit who maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here the apostle is dealing in detail with what it means when he says God has given us His Spirit. At the moment here in Romans 5, it's just the bare fact. But that's enough for the moment. It's not the person and work of the Holy Spirit he's really wanting to expound at this point in the argument. All he wants to do is impress upon us we have the most solid possible ground for believing that there is absolute security for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one such ground is that God has given us His Spirit. Notice with me very carefully that the end of the verse reads in our translation, which is given unto us. This is just one of those cases where English usage has changed somewhat over the years. What Paul was saying is that He was given unto us. And the tense is deliberately chosen. He is referring to one decisive act of God in the past. When He saved us, He gave us His Spirit. And again, sometimes you can go too far in what you read into the tense of a Greek verb. I don't think that is so in this case. But that single decisive act in the past, if I could use the word, it is an encapsulated event. It is a complete event. It is a finished event. And remember what the Bible tells us, what God does is done forever. Never forget that. When God does something, He does it forever. And when He gives us His Spirit, He gives us His Spirit forever. That's the force of the tense. He was given once and for all to us. When He saved us, that's what God did. Thus, our security is immovable. Why? Because God has given us His Spirit. Our assurance is well grounded. Why? Because God has given us His Spirit. Our hope of glory can never be disappointed. Why? Because God has given the very Spirit of God and of glory to us. We're indwelt by the Spirit. As Paul taught the Ephesians and the Corinthians, we are sealed by the Spirit. And in writing that to the Ephesians, he adds, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Many people misquote that text and say we are sealed until the day of redemption. That's not what Paul said. We're not sealed until, as if there's coming a day when we will be unsealed. There's no idea of until in the text. We are sealed unto that day. We are sealed with the purpose of bringing us to that day. We are sealed because it is God's intention that we cannot and must not miss out on that day. And to ensure that, He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, the Holy Spirit is also the earnest. The earnest is a word that's not used much in English nowadays. It's one of those words that has fallen by the wayside as we have imported other garbage words into our vocabulary. But I can remember in Northern Ireland, out in the country parts of North Antrim, that was a word that would have been in use. When there was a deal done and someone gave a pledge, they gave part of a payment. That was sealing the deal. It was called the earnest. It's the pledge of the full payment. This is what the Holy Spirit is called. He is the earnest of our inheritance. We have not yet entered into glory. We have not yet entered into the eternal fullness of the inheritance in Christ. But we are as sure of having that eternal fullness as if we were already in glory. Why? Well, for one reason, God has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's pledge to His people, His guarantee of the glory that is to come. So the first thing, the first truth in the argument regarding why our hope cannot ever be put to shame is that God has given us the Holy Spirit. Second line of argument, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us of God's great, and I've used the word incomparable, love for us. Now notice how this is put at the end of verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Literally, the love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. I want you to get that picture. The love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And in that text, there are four wonderful truths about God's love that assure believers of their security in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is the fact of God's love. The love of God. Now that little phrase may mean our love for God or God's love for us. Many commentators, including the famous Augustine, Bishop of Hippo. I like pronouncing that, Bishop of Hippo. It always sounds to me rather strange. Why anybody would want to be a bishop over such brutes, I have no idea. But we'll not get into that. Augustine, he believed it was our love for God. I think he's altogether wrong. Here, the whole sense of the passage is that it's God's love for us. God's love for us. It's an amazing thing, the kind of views that people have of some of the writers of Scripture. I have heard Paul described in many ways. You get the impression that Paul was either a cold logician, well, he was very logical, a very learned theologian, he was that, a brilliant linguist, yeah, he was that. Sometimes he was the zealot. You get that impression from people that I've heard it said, and I suppose with some truth that he'd have been a very hard man to live with. But the only reason for that is people who are carnal don't like to be too close to a spiritual giant, and people who want to be ice cold in their own spiritual walk don't like to get too near the fire. And that wouldn't be Paul's fault, that would be ours. You get the impression that Paul was this kind of person, whereas John was the tender, soft-hearted apostle of love. Now, John was inspired to write many beautiful things about the love of God, but no more so than Paul. Paul had as one of his most happy themes the love of God for us. When you get to the end of chapter 8, you'll find again that mighty bursting forth, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who'll do it? And then he goes down the list of possibilities, and he says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Writing to the Corinthians, he says, the love of Christ constraineth us. What made Paul tick? He knew that the Lord loved him. That's what made him tick. What set his soul on fire? He lived in the shadow of Calvary, and he realized the Lord loved me and gave himself for me. That's what controlled his life. And you know, while I'm getting off on a big subject that I really shouldn't even get into, I'm going to say this because I've been told, Debbie was telling me this the other night, when you say I can't get into it, just go ahead and get into it. Well, I'm going to get into it a little bit. We're dealing with justification assurance here, not sanctification at this point in time. But you know, most of our problems with our sanctification, the reason why we are the carnal wretches at times that we despise, the reason why we don't live the way we ought to live, talk the way we ought to talk, walk the way we ought to walk, give the way we ought to give, serve the way we ought to serve, is because we get away from Calvary and we lose the vision and the intimacy and the overwhelming reality. God loved and loves me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.